My guest at this time is Aryeh Eldad, member of the Knesset in Israel from the National Union Party. He is currently in the United States, and he joins me now to talk about some of the critical issues facing his country. And Mr. Eldad, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for asking me to participate.
Let's start with one of the issues that has obviously changed a great deal for Israel this year alone, and that's the situation and your country's relationship with Egypt. The Camp David Accords had been in effect and, for the most part, honored for over 30 years. Now, of course, Mubarak has been removed from power. Different people are in charge, whether it's the military or other forces who are less intent on honoring that agreement. We've seen attacks against Israeli soldiers near the Red Sea and the southern part of Israel in just the past couple of weeks. You have an Israeli general suggesting that a regional war could be breaking out eventually here in the next few months. How concerned are you about what's happening in Egypt and its impact on Israel?
We are concerned, and I think a great deal of the West world should be concerned, because Egypt is not going to have more democracy. But I think the more organized the political power in Egypt, which means the Muslim Brotherhood, will take advantage of the revolution that took place there. Even though the people who demonstrated in El Tahrir Square wanted more civil rights, more dignity to themselves, a government that will look after the civilians and not on other issues, I think the Muslim Brotherhood will be stronger after the next election. And the current military regime is already catering for such a change. And therefore, those who protected the peace agreement with Israel for the past 30 years now allow Sinai Peninsula to turn into a huge training ground for terrorist organizations, for Al-Qaeda, for Hamas, to make the empty desert into a large ammunition storage. That's bad news for stability in the Middle East, and Israel should be prepared for more of the events that we saw in the previous weeks.
What sort of response has Prime Minister Netanyahu suggested to this radicalization in Egypt, a greater partnership with Hamas in Gaza, and what are you recommending that the Israeli government do about it?
We have to understand that what we could trust 30 years ago, that Egypt will no longer be an enemy in the battlefield, has changed. We had very difficult periods in the past when we had a southern frontier, not only a northern frontier. We'll have to prepare ourselves for such a possibility.
In terms of the rest of the region, obviously there is unrest in Syria. We've seen it in Libya, just to the west of Egypt. Other places have seen uprisings in the region, from Yemen to some extent in Jordan. What do you expect to happen in the months ahead?
This Arab Spring will lead to less democratization. Even though the demonstrator wants more, it won't be as simple as let the people rule for themselves. The most interesting change might be in Jordan, even though it's relatively quiet yet, because if the Hashemite regime will be removed and the Palestinians in Jordan, the Palestinians are 80% of the population of Jordan, if they will be the ruling power, we will have a Palestinian state, not only de facto, but also de jure. We will have a Palestinian state in Jordan, and that will change the whole possibilities of solution to the conflict in the Middle East. Right now, we advocate the two-state solution, which means creating of a Palestinian state in the West Bank, in Judea, and Samaria, and Gaza. If we will have, all of a sudden, by this Arab Spring changes, a Palestinian state in Jordan, the whole solutions might be different. We are very frustrated because the two-state solution that is advocated is leading nowhere for the past 15 or 20 years. We are trying again and again and again to divide the land of Israel between Israelis and Palestinians, following the definition of insanity by Albert Einstein that says that if you repeat the same action again and again, and you still expect that in the next time the result will be different, that's insanity. But we keep prescribing this remedy of the two-state solution as if we didn't fail again and again and again. I really think that a change in Jordan can put a new factor in this equation and promote a different solution to the conflict.
Now, your prime minister officially supports the idea of a two-state solution. How big of a debate is there in the Knesset about that?
The prime minister changed his previous ideology. He was the one who said, whoever said yes to a Palestinian state says no to the state of Israel. After the first meeting with President Obama, I saw his face in the Defense and Foreign Affairs Committee of the Knesset, and he looked like a PTSD patriot, like a soldier in a shell shock. He was deeply battered by the American president, and he changed his ideology. I am sure that deep in his heart he understands that the creation of a Palestinian state is very much against the interest of the state of Israel. It was the murder, the late prime minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin, who said a Palestinian state can be only created on the ruins of the state of Israel. This is pretty much true today. And Netanyahu was enforced to adopt a different policy. But again, this is a dead-end scenario. And even if he wants to do it, and if he's being under pressure, he cannot promote it because the Palestinian refuses to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. That leads us to a better understanding of our frustration. We are so frustrated because the conflict is not solved, and we do not understand that the conflict cannot be solved through a territorial compromise. If the conflict was a territorial conflict between Israelis and Arabs, we could have solved it long ago. The fact that we can't solve it only suggests that maybe we misdiagnosed the disease, maybe the conflict is not territorial, but truly a religious war. And these kind of wars evolved slowly, gradually, through education, through tolerance, not by drawing the border on the map. We keep attempting to draw a border on the map, hoping that this will cure the conflict. It's not going to do so. It will end like the previous attempts in a bloodshed, in another war. We must understand what are the real reasons of the conflict, which is a religious conflict, a cultural clash, and then to adopt a different method to solve it.
Just about a minute or so left in our conversation with Arye Eldad. He is a member of the Knesset in Israel, of the National Union Party. Sir, you mentioned what you perceived as Prime Minister Netanyahu's reaction from his one of his meetings with President Obama. There's certainly a perception, if not an acceptance, of strained relations between our two countries. How would you characterize U.S. and Israeli relations, and how would you try to improve them?
I think these are the worst relations that I can recall in the last 25 or 30 years. I'm afraid the current players in the playground, you don't improve them very much. It will be a change in government in Israel or in the United States that can contribute to the improvement. I do not expect President Obama to change his understanding that United States shouldn't support Israel as much as they supported each in the past, because this is his philosophy, this is his policy. I really think that I can reflect how the American president is accepted by the Arab states in the Middle East and not only in Israel. He's not accepted as very calculated, but as hesitant. He's not accepted as courageous, but as a hesitant leader, as a weak leader. The fact that he abandoned President Mubarak of Egypt is accepted by a state like Syria. as a betrayal of a friend. The change of policy towards Israel is translated in the mind of the Arab state in Israel as a country that shouldn't be trusted. If the United States of America president betray a long-standing friendship with Israel, it's not a good business to be a friend of the United States in the Middle East, because President Obama is accepted as a weak president. And these are bad news, not only to Israel, but to the whole West. We need strong America, not only in the Middle East, but all over the world. And if President Obama gave up leadership in Libya, and allowed France and England to run the show there, it is accepted as weakness in the Middle East. Okay, let's make business with France and England, not with the U.S., because their leaders is not strong enough to support those who support him. I'm afraid that the change in policy toward Israel is only one symptom of a whole system that reflects the change of the place that the United States of America hold in the world as a superpower, because it's diminishing. And I really hope for a change for America.
Mr. Eldad, very interesting. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thank you very much.
Aryeh Eldad is a member of the Israeli Knesset with the National Union Party. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.